Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, financial independence is not just about amassing wealth. It's actually about gaining the freedom to live life on your terms. So in today's show, we're going to explore what financial independence truly means and how you can achieve it regardless of your income level.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. My name's Steve Siddall. Kevin has been helping folks for better than 30 years getting to and through retirement. Independent fiduciary advisor at Silverleaf Financial. That is Kevin's company. SilverleafFinancial.com is the website. So check that out as well. Kevin, as always, a pleasure. Kind of a fun week.
Oh, it's great. It's great to be here, Steve. And, yeah, you know what? It's a nice week, and it's given us a three-day weekend this week, right, with the fourth.
I'm liking that. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? I love a good three-day weekend. So
who doesn't?
You know, right? Yes, exactly. A chance to celebrate our independence and have some fun and, you know, be careful with the fireworks, though.
Well, right. Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to. Yeah. Well, my dog just can't deal with fireworks, man. It's horrible. We got to stay in a house and lock down. You know?
You know what? I actually knew somebody that they put earmuffs on their dog's head.
We tried trazodone.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. It works.
Oh man. There you go. You know what? A lot of dogs go nuts with the fireworks. So.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad we're in a spot now that I'm in a retirement community, so it's not quite as crazy.
Those folks don't go out there and go crazy?
No, they don't. They don't. At least not in their backyard. So where I used to live, I had a neighbor that liked to shoot off bottle rockets, and the damn things would always land in my pool. So
sure.
I was not too happy about that. So anyway, guys, listen, I hope everybody has a good, safe fourth. But before we let you go that quick, you know, we're talking about financial independence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to me, that's like the definition of being able to retire. Because, you know, it's not just having a bank account or a big bank account. It's about having sufficient resources to cover your expenses without relying on active employment, right? So you got enough money, you can pay all your bills, you can take your trips, you can, you know, send gifts to the grandkids and go golfing and everything else you want to do,
mm-hmm.
because you're judicious with your money. And you've set up income streams that provide you the income you need. And hopefully you're working with a guy like me that can help you plan for future income streams so that as inflation continues to tick higher, we have additional ways that we can send you more money in the future. That is a key component to being financially independent, is to making sure you have not only resources for today, right, but for resources 5 years, 10 years, maybe 20 years from today, depending on how long your retirement lasts.
Sure. That makes perfect sense. And I you know, financial independence, I mean, you're right. It doesn't happen by accident.
No, it is very, very much deliberate. Unless you're one of these, people like our president that was born into a wealthy family and given a bunch of money, then you've had to make it for yourself. And a lot of people get inheritances. Guys, I'll tell you what, if you know somebody or you're getting a large sum of money, and you're not used to having a large sum of money, you really need to sit down with some advisors, all right? It's the old story, like so many young athletes, right? These basketball and football players that get these multi-million-dollar contracts, they're broke within a matter of a couple of years after their career ends. And it's because they just blow the money and they think it's going to last. So having that independence means you got to be disciplined, right?
Yes.
And so hopefully, if you're a younger person, you want to start as soon as possible because it is far, far easier to accumulate, let's say, $1 million nest egg if you start putting money in your 401k in your 20s as opposed to your 30s or 40s or 50s. And I think it's important to do that consistently and then leave it alone. Don't tap it for anything. All right. So I think one of the things that helps a lot of people with financial independence, like, and Steve, we've talked many times before about different ways to generate income, because I personally prefer, you know, having a guaranteed source of income. To me, it would be anxiety producing to rely on my stock investments to give me income that I need. In other words, income that you want is one thing, but income that you need, you know, to pay your rent, to pay your mortgage, or to pay your utilities or your property taxes, your insurance bills, whatever it is you want to do, if you're relying on the market, that might work out really well and it might crush you. Okay? That's the thing, is that we talk about sequence risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you retire in your 60s in your first several years of retirement, if you're relying on your investments, your broker's investments, and the markets go down, your retirement could be completely tanked. And so it's very important to understand the risks you're looking at as you're striving to build your independence, right?
Yes.
One good way a lot of people do it is through investments, and obviously not just stocks and bonds. You can get private credit and private debt. They're actually talking about opening that up in your 401k account. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you definitely should talk to an advisor first, all right? But those investments, those are the ones, the private equity guys, the venture capital guys, these are wealthy people that invest millions of dollars into a company, and oftentimes they sit on it for 10, 15 years before it realizes a valuation and they can get any money out of it, because it's private that entire time, and it could go to zero. They could lose it all, right?
Sure.
But
sure.
You see these investments, like some of these companies that have just gone public, I forget which one it was, but the guy had owned it for one of the venture capitalist guys, he put his money in there 15 years ago. And now he's got something like a 50x return or something on his investment.
Sure.
But it took some time, right? Well, up until recently, regular, you know, the average investor hasn't really had an easy way to access those markets, because you got to be an accredited investor. And to get the best ones, you really got to have a lot of money. And I mean millions and millions of dollars. But now with them opening up, there's a lot more investments that are in the stock market that you can trade on the exchanges every day of the week. I've got some private credit investments that are paying over 8% interest rate. But you do get some fluctuations there. But my point is it's an alternative way to generate income, because you want to have multiple income streams, ideally, in retirement. You know, the people that are most comfortable have four or five different income streams. They don't just rely on Social Security. It's multiple sources. So maybe rental properties. Maybe, like, if you're a handyman, like you're a contractor, man, I think you should be, in my mind, it seems like you can make a fortune renovating properties, selling them, or renting them out, because you can do the labor yourself and you don't have to pay somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
So I always think, if you're a contractor or a handy person, like, you know, like I've talked before, my father could fix anything. I've got a couple brothers that can fix anything. They literally, that's what they do for the job. One was a maintenance guy at a factory, so he could fix everything that broke, he could fix it. And my other brother's, he is a car mechanic, and then he got into heavy equipment where he works on bulldozers and stuff like that. So they can fix anything. But I'm not like that. Okay, so for me, if I bought a rental property and something breaks, I gotta hire a handyman, or I gotta hire some contractors to take care of it, and it just makes it much more difficult, right? So I would encourage you, if you're a handy person, or if you're a contractor, take a look at it, see if it might make sense for you, because in my mind, you would be a perfect fit for that type of situation, because you know how to, you've got the skills to do the labor. So, but that extra, that excess rental income, you know, like some of my clients, they have rental properties. I've got one in Chicago. He's got a multi-unit building. It's a four. He owns the building, and there are four units in the building. And those can be great sources of income. You know, what they did very wisely, I thought, is their rental properties are directly across the street from the colleges in Chicago. So you know that there's going to be a high turnover market. And I felt good about it because I actually recommended that to my parents when I was in college, Steve. I said,
really?
Mom and Dad, you know, if you would buy me that condo, right, you're going to have a condo in a college town that's got new people coming in every year, right?
Yeah.
That should be a fantastic investment, right? And believe it or not, I actually convinced them to do it.
No kidding. Wow, good for you.
Oh, man, it was great for me because it was a brand new condo, you know, off campus. And, you know, a very nice unit. We got the end unit, you know, so we only had a common wall on one side. And it worked out great. And they were able to keep on renting it for years and years after I moved out.
Oh, wow.
So it can work out very well. You know, also there's investments that you don't have to actively work for, right? Maybe you can get royalties. Maybe you're a writer or a producer of some sort. You can get royalties from those sorts of things. Or, you know, what we've talked about many times is an annuity. Guys, the reason why annuities are popular is because, one, they're the only investment that will guarantee you a lifetime income, even if the account value goes to zero. That's why. If you're looking for lifetime income, that's the reason why a lot of advisors will suggest that, because of the guarantee and the security of knowing, even if your account value went to zero when you were 91, you can live to 101. It's going to keep on paying you, right? Now, all of them don't work the same. So it's really important to work with somebody that knows the market and knows the industry and isn't just working with one or two companies, so they can shop the entire space and show you and prove to you that you're getting the best deal that's out there on the market. That's what I like to do. I like to show my clients the top 10, you know, top 10 quotes, and you can see for yourself the differences in one versus the other. It can be dramatic. So you want to make sure you look at the possibilities, but find an advisor that has expertise and as an independent fiduciary who puts your interests first, and I think you're going to like the result much more.
Oh, I think that sounds great. And again, folks, if you want to reach out to Kevin, it's 800-975-6717. Better yet, just visit the website, silverleaffinancial.com. You can connect with Kevin there, set up an appointment, or just give him a call, send him an email. It's all right there.
Hey, you know what? That's yes, guys, and you know what? You can set up an appointment right on my website, bottom right corner of my homepage. That is a link to my calendar through the app called Calendly, and that's a live link. So you will only be able to schedule a time that I am available because that's a live link to my calendar. And I set it up for just a 10 to 15 minute phone call so that we can just talk on the phone for a few minutes, because I want to make sure that it appears as though I can help you before we take the time to sit down. And I want you to be sure that you're talking to somebody that could very well be a good fit for you. And we can figure that out in 10 or 12 minutes, I promise.
Sure.
So, you know, so just set it up. It's a piece of cake. There's no cost, no obligation. I try to keep it very low key, and then we can take it from there if you want to sit down and come into my office face to face. You know, so going back to financial independence, you know, obviously
yes.
A key component of it, Steve, is understanding everything, right? It's
yes.
It kind of demands that you're financially literate, you know, and that you can understand budgeting, investments, debt management, and so on. And I think that it's very important that the sooner the better we learn these things, of course, because there are some people that part of the reason I like to do the phone call when I talk to folks is I've had a fair amount of people think that I was more on the debt side as opposed to the investment side.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they think that I can help them get out of debt or consolidate their debt, or I'm a credit counselor. And so the term financial advisor doesn't necessarily mean to everybody that you do what I do. And by definition, you know, I help people with their investments, their retirement planning. So by definition, they have extra money. And so it's important to know exactly who you're working with, but it's also important that obviously we keep control of our debt, right? Something that really that I just was surprised to read is that more seniors have credit card debt now than I think ever in history. And I don't believe that's a good idea, guys. I know there's inflation out there. But if you do have credit card debt, pay down the one with the highest interest rate first, okay? So if you got one charging 22%, the other one's charging 18, pay down the max you can pay to the 22% one and pay the smaller amount to the lower interest rate. And that will get you there. I've had my share of credit cards and I've sworn them off. We use them for purchases because I like to get the 2% cash back, you know? But we pay it off every month. Pay it off every month. Don't try to go into retirement without any debt of any kind. To me, is the lowest stress way of doing it.
Oh my gosh, I would think so.
Right, because you can get your, I mean, my monthly, I call it my monthly nut for lack of a better way of saying it. It's barely over $3,000, and it has not been that low in my entire career basically, because you know earlier in my career I had debt, you know, so it's very important that you keep that debt as low as possible, in my view, and when you think about it, some people say, you know what, well you can write off that interest. Do you know, when you do your tax return, do you know you're getting an interest deduction? Are you itemizing? Because if you're not itemizing, you're not getting that deduction. You're taking the standard deduction, right? Well, yep. since the tax cuts in 2017, most people are doing the standard deduction, all right? So it's questionable whether you're really getting a tax benefit from having interest, paying the interest on your mortgage, if you know what I mean.
I do, yeah.
And I think it's important that whenever somebody says, hey, you can write that off, you know what? You need to ask yourself, do you itemize, okay? Because if you don't itemize, you're not getting the benefit of a write-off. You're just taking the standard deduction. So which you get, whether you had that mortgage interest or not. Apparently they've passed the bill, which I think is a terrible, ugly bill. They're taking out 5 more trillion-dollar credit cards. So we have 36 credit cards that are all maxed out at $1 trillion each, and now Republicans have pushed the biggest debt increase in history. So we run on the biggest deficits in history, and we just got the biggest increase in our debt line in history under Republicans. So these guys are not conservative. Okay, I don't know what conservative thinks that it's okay to keep running up the debt. It's going to, the future generation is going to be screwed. All right, but more importantly, people that are getting close to retirement or in retirement, I think you need to be planning now for your Social Security to get cut 20%, and now they're saying that's going to happen in 2032. All right, 7 years, and that program will be insolvent. Okay, that means the money coming into it, there's not any excess money, there's no extra reserves. So right now, it's funded by payroll taxes, right? It's mm-hmm. funded by the tax on Social Security, which they have now thrown in another deduction for people. I think it's below 150 joint income, below 75 single income, and you get like another $6,000 deduction. That's going to drain Social Security sooner, guys. That's what that's going to do, all right? Lowering tax revenues, kicking people out of the country that are paying Social Security payroll taxes, that's going to lower the money. That's lessening the money going into the program, which means it's going to go insolvent sooner, all right? So if anybody thinks that the politicians are going to actually solve this problem, please get on the talk shows and tell us how, all right? Give me a call, because there's nobody that seems to be concerned at all in Washington about our massive debt. Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, was talking about it today, of course, saying how we're going to grow our way out of the debt, all right? So to give you guys an idea, we've got $36 trillion in national debt. All right. Our debt service is the total amount of interest we pay as interest on that debt as a nation, as taxpayers. We're paying now over $1 trillion in interest annually. That's more than we spend in the entire Department of Defense. All of DOD, all of National Defense, all the military branches, everything going on geopolitically is less than we spend in interest on the debt. Okay. Now, if you look 5 years ago, the average interest rate on the nation's debt was 1.8%. You can go into any AI program out there and ask it what the average interest rate is now, and it's 3.4%, okay? So it's almost doubled the percentage interest rate we're paying on our debt as the debt is climbing ever higher and higher, and now the Republicans are sending it $5 trillion higher. So ask yourself, what's going to happen to save Social Security? Where's it going to come from, right? And it sucks. I'm really pissed off about it, if I'm being honest, because that's what I care about. I care about Medicare and Social Security, stabilizing those programs. I don't think they should have passed this tax extension. It's adding too much to our debt. They're still spending too damn much money, and now they're adding another $5 trillion in debt. So I think you need to plan for Social Security to be 20% smaller than it shows you on the SSA.gov website, all right? And if it does not happen, then you know, praise Jesus, okay? It'll be a wonderful thing if it doesn't happen. But I don't see any way that it can happen, because each week that goes by makes it that much harder to deal with. And so Republicans had the chance to do it. They have control of all three branches. They could do it if they wanted to, because that's the reason I said I wanted Democrats and I voted Democrat is because I thought it would take Democrats to fix Social Security and Medicare. Because if you check history, they're the ones that passed all those programs to begin with. All of them were passed by Democratic administrations, signed by Democratic presidents, and the Republicans fought every one of them every step of the way. So I don't have any confidence that it's going to get fixed. And Democrats have been nowhere to be seen. The Democratic leadership is horrible. They haven't, I don't even know where they are, right? But they don't seem to be doing a damn thing, guys. So we're in a bit of a mess. So you need to make sure whatever you're projecting for your Social Security income, I'd suggest you cut it by 20%, all right? And it pains me to say that because that affects me too. It's actually going to go broke at exactly the time I was planning to claim because I am now 60. And I plan to claim in the 67 or 68 range. Maybe I'll wait till 70, depending on how things go. But it's in that window, and that, of course, is right when they say it's going insolvent. So it's important that we budget and make sure that we don't run out of money. One of the key components that goes into that calculation is your Social Security benefit. So be aware of the problems, and I don't see any way. The only way they're going to fix it is by raising taxes, by raising the – if they eliminated the payroll cap on Social Security, right now it maxes out at 167 or something.
Yeah.
So once you make over 170 grand, you don't pay any more. You can be Taylor Swift making $1 billion, and she's paying the same amount in Social Security as a person making 167 grand. All right. So I think that's a huge travesty. I think it's very unfair, and that would, to me, be the easiest way to help the program. But I'm convinced they're going to be cutting the program as we go down the road. So let's be ready for it, okay? So what I'm doing, and I talked about it before, I have advocated that people own some Bitcoin, okay? You've got to understand it's very speculative, and if there's a new, better technology that comes out, Bitcoin could go to zero, okay? Quantum technology, as I understand it, I'm not a technologist, I'm not a technical engineer, but as I understand it, quantum computing has the ability in the future that there's no consensus. Some say 5-10 years, others say 20-25 years. But once it's fully operational and can do what they say it can do, it's going to have the ability to unlock every encryption tool we have out there, including the blockchain. All right. So quantum, to me, is the biggest threat to the cryptocurrency space, as well as a threat to all of our user IDs and passwords, because it can unlock everything. So I have to believe that the crypto community is working on this too, right? And they know about it. But to me, that's the biggest risk, that, I don't know, Ethereum or some other cryptocurrency that we have not yet heard about knocks off blockchain because it's got a superior technology. So that's the risk. There aren't any earnings. There aren't sales we can track. I'm buying it, and I've been buying it because sentiment has completely shifted towards Bitcoin. When they introduced the ETFs last year, the exchange-traded funds, that opened it up to so many more investors. And to be clear, that's how I own Bitcoin. I do not own it directly. I don't have a cold wallet or a hot wallet or any other damn crypto wallet, right? Because those have been stolen, guys. Those have been stolen. Was it Coinbase, right? Coinbase.
Big
crypto hack, okay? People lost a lot of money, all right? They own the actual Bitcoin. I like the ETFs because they're transparent. They've got pretty reasonable expense ratios, and you don't have to have physical ownership. That's the same way I own gold. I don't own physical gold. I own it through an exchange-traded fund. And gold is up 45% in the last year. Bitcoin is still one of the top-performing investments. I want to say pretty much every time frame you look at. If you look at year-to-date, or if you look at one-year returns, three-year, five-year, 10-year returns, Bitcoin has blown everything else away, okay? Mm-hmm. Bitcoin is up 10x in 5 years, 10 times your money in 5 years, okay? So there's no way of knowing where it's going to go from here, but I believe that the incompetent politicians that we have that are driving us further and further into debt, I believe they're debasing the dollar. The U.S. dollar is down 12% versus the Swiss franc year to date. Okay, So that's actually a threat to our markets because foreigners have to they buy U.S. equities using U.S. dollars, and they're getting hit on the dollar side, the conversion, right? And so if foreigners stop buying U.S. equities because of a weak dollar, that could be downside for the stock market. And if the dollar becomes maybe not the reserve, but maybe there's a co-reserve. Maybe there's another reserve currency like the euro, right? I mean, personally, I'd rather own Swiss francs or the euro than the U.S. dollar right now, but that's what I own. And so I'm hedging it, I believe, by buying Bitcoin and by buying gold. Those are the hedges that I'm using. I could be wrong, but I do think they merit attention, and I think everybody should take a look, give it some thought, give it some consideration, do some research, and see if it makes sense for you, but you're understanding both of them, and I've said this many times, I was never a buyer of gold until this year, actually. And I always said, I don't know how to put a value on it because there's no earnings, there's no revenue, it's how do you value it? And the fact is, it's considered a store of value, right? An alternative to the U.S. dollar or to other currencies. Actually, it's an alternative to all the fiat currencies, right? All the currencies that governments print, right, are fiat currencies. The government prints it, right? They print it on the one hand, and then they use it to borrow more on the other hand, all right? With the quantitative easing they were doing, they're printing more money, right, and using it to buy bonds, right, to keep the prices up and the yields down, right? And so there's a lot of games going on behind the scenes, but I think these look like very attractive assets for the next several years. These are not trades for me. I'm planning on holding both gold and Bitcoin at least until 2030 is my plan, because I think by that time we're going to be having some nasty, nasty discussions about Social Security and Medicare. And I think that's just a reality because the programs are heading for insolvency. So, or the government is going to be mandated to cut the payments down to meet the insolvency, which is about 20%. So let's plan on that happening. Unfortunately, we've got morons in Washington. And the best thing we can do, I would say, is to be smart about your own finances. Make sure that you can withstand that cut. Okay, so let's make sure we build up your assets, we grow your investments, and we figure out other ways that we can generate income in retirement. I can show you a bunch of them, and I'd be happy to go through that with you. That's the first thing I like to do, is to set up an income plan so that when you are retired, you know where your income's coming from. Ideally, you can have money in the market too, right? I like to do that for a hedge for future growth.
Sure.
But let's say you got $1 million, you could put $600,000 into fixed interest annuities that are paying 5.5% to 6% right now. You get almost $3,000 a month in income without touching the principal, plus your Social Security, right? Which for most people is a sufficient amount in retirement, right? And then additional money, have that as other investments. Have your emergency fund. Let's set up a fund that we've talked about. Maybe put $100,000 in a fund, right? So you can travel and you can buy gifts and you can go screw around as much as you want with money from that account, because it's not going to impact any of your other activities or any of your other plans. And so I like to segregate them. I think psychologically it helps people to have the assets kind of in different buckets. So it's like, okay, that's for having a good time. That's for us to live on with income. That's for us to grow for the future, for an inflation hedge, maybe to leave money to your kids or your grandkids or a charity, any number of things. But I think this, to me, the segmented approach makes it psychologically easier for people to wrap their hands in their head.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, because it makes so much sense.
Yeah, right. And I think if you get to that point, you've got all the money, you got your buckets full, right? You've got the income that you need. That's when you're looking at what we started the show with. You're looking at financial independence, because then you know what, we've baked it in. So if the idiots in government cut Social Security 20%. Yes, it's going to suck, but you know what? We can deal with it. We've got other money. We'll be okay. We've got other income. We planned for it. We knew it was happening because Kevin told us it was happening a long time ago. Okay? So make sure, don't blow smoke, please. Don't call it fake news. All right? Do the research, guys. This is going to happen. All right, because they're not doing a damn thing about it. When's the last time you heard any? The last thing Trump said in February was that he was not going to cut Medicaid. Guess what just happened? They cut Medicaid. All right. So I think we need to take care of ourselves. The government's not going to do it. All right. So I'd be happy to help you figure that out and to make sure you've got enough moving forward. One other quick thing I wanted to just touch on is there was an interesting study, Steve, with Vanguard. That is a 2025 study. And what I thought is interesting is it demonstrates the difference between average and median. And maybe this sounds mundane, but I think a lot of people forget when they see averages, like the average 401k balance, as of right now, according to Vanguard, is 148 grand average, right? That doesn't sound too bad, 148,000, depending on if you're 25 or 65, but they didn't tell us that. But 148 sounds okay. But then if you look at the median, so half people have more, half the people have less, that's a much more accurate indicator, all right? I prefer to go by the median, not the average. Because
that's a startling number.
Right? The median balance is 38 grand. So from 148 to 38. So half of the people in the 401k plans have less than $38,000 put away. Half. Half have more, half have less. That's your true average number in my view. And so 38 grand is not going to cut it. All right. Hopefully those are younger people. You know, if you're in your 20s or 30s and that's where you're at, that's not such a big deal. But if you're in your 40s or 50s or older, then you might need, you should talk to somebody for sure. All right. So I think it's important that we recognize that. And the other thing that shocked me in this report, Steve, was that only 16% of people over the age of 50 are taking advantage of the catch-up contribution. And guys, that is a big opportunity to put more money away. You can put an extra $7,500 in your 401k, right? Which is a big jump. That's like 30% more. And if you're between 60 and 63, you can put in $11,250 over and above the standard contribution. So that can make a big difference in your future retirement. So by all means, take a look at the catch-up contributions, try to put away as much as you can, and don't touch it until you're ready to retire, and then we can help you set up an income plan.
And have a great, safe Independence Day.
Yes, everybody have a wonderful July 4th, a great Independence Day, and you know, stay safe and have a good time.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.